Now these little camp chairs with the little holders, cup holders.
Yes, definitely.
There you go. So
awesome, thank you.
Welcome to Cider Chat. You got a little sneak peek there of our featured conversation with Nicole Todd of the Santa Cruz Cider Company based in Santa Cruz County, California. There's a lot to catch up with her because this past year, as we all experienced, was a doozy. And on top of that, she had a house fire where they couldn't live there anymore. So we're actually camping out during this recording at a new location where she and her husband Felix will be setting up their homestead. But that's not all. There's so much more to catch up with and find out how does someone who, along with her sister Natalie, are able to survive this past year of pandemic madness and on top of that, be able to stay steady on. It's all that and more on this here episode 280 of Cider Chat. Hello, my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. We'll be going to that featured conversation, but first, we have a wee bit of news from one of our sponsors of Cider Chat.
Emily Ritchie here from the nonprofit, the Northwest Cider Association. It can be hard to find a good selection of independently made craft cider, so we just launched the Northwest Cider Club a few months ago. The Northwest Cider Club invites you to drink in the Pacific Northwest, a region that grows the majority of the nation's apples and produces a wide range of cider styles. Club members get insider access to our Northwest cider scene. We ship quarterly boxes to your door from up to 10 producers all in one box. Our early fall release is an exploration of apples. One of our featured ciders this quarter is the Roman Beauty from Easy Orchards. They've been growing this apple on their farm in the Willamette Valley of Oregon since 1929. The ground there is an ancient seabed full of rich and nutritious soil. This antique apple, sometimes called Rome, is of North American provenance, and it was bred for cooking and drying, as it's good on aromatics and texture. The Roman Beauty cider, made mostly from Roman Beauty, with some Muscadet de Lens and Roxbury Russet, it's fermented cold and slow to retain that ripe apple aroma, resulting in a low-alcohol, semi-dry cider with mild acidity. It's a process reminiscent of how cider was made on the farm in the 19th century. Easy Orchard grows apples with very specific cider blends in mind. As you walk through the grounds, it's clear that rows are organized around specific cultivation and harvesting techniques. This enables them to manage a precise maturation on the tree that improves with every year's lessons. Cider fans across the country becoming connected with special selections like this one from Easy Orchards is a major perk of the club. Learn more and subscribe at nwciderclub.com/podcast.
Hey, Ciderville, are you like me ready to drink in the Northwest or what? Oh my goodness, the Roman Beauty. And then any cider coming from Easy Orchard, you know, it's just going to be a winner. No doubt about it. Again, go to nwciderclub.com/podcast. You'll have the link in the show notes to this year, episode 280. Oh, I just love the way Emily talks about that Roman Beauty. I bet out there in Ciderville, there's a lot of van people, not just folks who drive vans about for work, but folks who have vans that are also campers. Certainly, I've been doing it my whole life. My folks had a van for camping. My dad, you know, did all the work inside and then put a board across from the steering wheel to the passenger side. And that is where I would sleep when we were camping out, believe it or not, occasionally honking the horn. And then as I got older, I guess I had a little of a Ford Econoline van and then got myself a couple of VW buses, a 76 and a 79. That 79 was really something. It had a dual carburetor engine and I could go like 70 in that VW bus once it was all rebuilt. But the first time it was rebuilt, I was taking it out cross country, going out to California, meet up with the family. And somewhere around in Bixby, Arizona, which is by the border with Mexico, a ring blew on that new van. It didn't break in too well. So we limped up to Flagstaff, where I have family, spent the weekend just tearing out that motor and rebuilding it, and finally made it in time to my parents' little anniversary party. Well, from the VW van, I didn't have a van for a while. Maybe I was just a little spent on doing all that work on it. But these days now, I have a 1997 van. It's better known as a cider bus in the cider community because that van is what I took on the first New England cider tour, a pretty little intimate setting where we went up to both New Hampshire and Vermont in what I call the cider bus. And the cider bus is going to be running again. In fact, this week, when this episode goes live on July 14th, 2021, I will be in that cider bus or cider van out in Pennsylvania, I think, on that day. I'm heading out to both New York State and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, making cider stops along the way, and I cannot wait. So if you're catching this podcast in real time, listening to it right now, you might want to check out the social media at Cider Chat on Twitter, a Cider Chat Facebook page. There's an Instagram, and also at Cider Chat on TikTok, because I'm going to be doing some posting along the way, having a bit of fun and getting to meet up with some wonderful folks and getting some recordings lined up for future episodes on this here podcast. But that's not really why I started talking about the van. It actually has a lot to do with meeting up with Nicole Todd of the Santa Cruz Cider Company. You see, just a couple weeks ago, I was in Santa Cruz, California, and I couldn't get a rental car for anything under, I don't know, $150 a day. Because of COVID, the fleets had all been sold off, and it was just scarcity and very, very pricey if you could get a rental car. So instead, I thought, let me see other options. And I actually found the Outdoorsy app. That's what it's called. It allows you to rent from owners of different trailers and campers. And I found myself a van right close by the San Jose Airport in San Jose, California. And that was a 2000 van, the year 2000. And being comfortable with vans, I had no problem signing up for it. And I tell you, it worked like a charm. It was totally tricked out with solar panels on the roof and a refrigerator and a nice little bed and all the little accoutrements you would need to kind of camp out. And that van allowed me on my last evening there before flying home to head down to the Watsonville area and meet up with Nicole and Felix Todd. Now, mind you, my little 2000 GMC Safari did not have four-wheel drive, but Nicole assured me, no problem, you got a van, you can make it to our land. So I took down the directions, I went through the gate, and I started ascending up the hill. About halfway down, Nicole met me at the next juncture at a fork and said, okay, we're going to head up this dirt section. I'm like shaking my head, okay, cool, and we start heading up. And I tell you, it's kind of like going up the hills in San Francisco, going straight up. And we had to do this one little turn to the right and go through some very soft sand. But she said, you'll be okay if you keep driving and don't stop in the sand. I was thinking I was going to a big field where we were camping out, but that's not really the way it works in the hills of Santa Cruz County. The key to driving through sand or snow is to keep the vehicle moving. You don't want to slow down and you don't want to speed up when you're in that tricky spot. Just keep it moving, which somehow it worked out for me. And I finally made it up the hill and to solid ground. We parked the van right behind her truck and we're surrounded by bushes. This mountain is what you would call raw land and it's going to need a little bit of working. I kind of looked at her and said, so tomorrow morning I have to back down what I just came up. And she replied in that calm, cool, collected manner that is so classic Nicole, saying, and I replied with a, uh-huh, and went up to the campsite, where the four of us, Nicole, Felix, his brother Jeff, from Northern California, and myself and a couple dogs, enjoyed the stars twinkling above, surrounded by old California oak trees on the side of a mountain, next to a small fire, in that perfectly heavenly space that I so enjoy, and enjoy even that much better when it's with good people and tasty cider. So let me bring you there to the beginning moments of our conversation in this recording, where I'm pouring her a cider, and unbeknownst to her, it's actually her cider, the one that was keeved from an orchard of Gravenstein apples.
Do you have a cider?
I do have a cider.
Oh.
Here, let me get myself a little bit better situated. And put my glass here. Love these little camp chairs with little holders, cup holders.
Yes, definitely.
There you go.
So awesome, thank you.
Ooh. Cheers.
Cheers, thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm. Made a good cider.
Thanks. The nature made a good cider.
Well, it's a copacetic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was so excited about that fruit last year.
Because it was such a dry year? Or,
well,
it's always a dry year.
That was the first time using that farm, though, that 8 acres.
Oh, yeah. Can we revisit that again? Because I just want to get resynced here.
Yeah, this lady just kind of called us out of the blue and said, hey, I saw that you make cider out of local apples. I would have an old orchard. I'd love for you to make cider out of my apples. And she said, well, come out and look at it. And my sister and I went and loved it. It was beautiful, like 8 acres, dry farmed, Gravenstein.
Were they like kind of gnarly looking trees? Like how thick were the trunks?
Some of them were massive. Some of them were definitely, you know, 80 plus year old trees.
Really? Okay. So then, what is an 80 plus year old tree? Excuse me, look like in this area? Like, what's the diameter of a trunk? Let's get down to, like,
gosh,
the specs here.
Yeah.
What's the diameter of the trunk?
I don't know. Some of them get pretty big, like basketball, bigger than basketball size.
Yeah, 12, 14. Yeah,
12 or 14 inches,
thank
okay.
You for putting a number to it, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That works good. So you hold a basketball in front of you. That's like the size.
And some of them have, you know, one limb left that's growing. A lot of them you can see through the trunk. And they're still just hanging on.
Mostly all rotten. But, you know, those old apple trees, that's the beauty of them. So anyways.
So she said, oh, I might have, you know, some years it's maybe 30 bins. So, you know, 15 ton of fruit. I was like, oh, that's kind of a lot. But couldn't really conceptualize for some reason. So I'm like, we'll take it. And so then harvest comes in August. And my sister and I were like, well, we need to get bins out there. And we need to get pickers. And how are we going to get these apples off of the property? And there's no tractor there. And so all these things, like, we kept calling around and things would fall through. Long story short, we had a bunch of random people come out and pick a half a bin or a bin. And then we had a local crew come out and help finish it up.
Wow.
But it was really Jake Mann, like, seriously, like a superhero from, like, 2 miles away on, you know, Freedom Boulevard.
He looks like a superhero. He has that kind of, like, you know, squarish face, you know, and the most, you know,
and
it looks good on him.
Driving up onto the farm that day to come load the bins onto a flatbed, I was just like, this is my absolute hero at the moment. So that was a really great feeling that he knew what he was doing. He brought his equipment. He helped us finish it.
That's this area.
We couldn't have done it without him.
Every time I talk to any one of you folks around here, you know, like making the cider or doing the orchards, I always hear the same thing about the community of the apple people.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially within the cider, you know, cider makers and growers. And, yeah.
So this cider's great. I mean, it's really spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it has the residual sweetness there.
This one we let it tell us what it wanted to be. And we literally just let it spontaneously. So we get these beautiful apples in. We press them, you know, with Robbie, and then I pitched yeast on some, and some I said, let's just let it wild ferment and see what happens. And this was the result, and we were, very pleasantly surprised, because most of my wild ferments have not turned out.
No, wow, that's really delicious. So let me, if I could ponder upon this glass here for a second.
It's mouth-watering and also has that wee bit of tannin that makes me draw back, you know. And so like a Kieved cider, because most of them I have tasted have been in Europe where they have a certain tannic profile to them. I'm getting that same kind of little tannic edge of the Kieved, even though a lot of people look at it as like a really sweet cider. It's drawing out, so you're kind of like mouth-watering, and that dryness that kind of finishes. But it's not a dryness of a dry cider. It's a different one. It's a dryness of tannin. Really clean.
It was perfectly clean, not filtered, and we racked it from the primary to the bright tank, and that was it.
Wow.
And
you were gifted.
We were lucky with that one on that farm.
The apple beans are looking and around and smiling. They're happy to be, you know, noticed in this area again. You're lifting up this area like nobody's business. I mean, it's serious.
Yeah.
And it's so really cool.
Yeah. We quickly, with that harvest, realized that we were in over our heads, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So luckily I talked Jake into taking over management of that orchard.
Oh.
I was like, you will always sell all the apples every year.
Did you talk him into it?
So yeah, so this year he's doing it. He's been out there and he's, you know, I think sprayed some fertilizer maybe a little bit and disced and pruned up the whole orchard again. So beautiful. And this lady is awesome. She put in 150 more trees this year and is filling in some, you know, some empty spots and this whole kind of acre up front that was open. She planted a bunch of new town pippin.
Wow.
So she's really, you know, it's just great to find people that want to farm apples anymore. There's no money in it around here.
But, you know, but you do a little value added product and there you go. So you had this awesome, amazing cider. What is the percent here on this?
It's about 6%. So just those, and we did a few kegs for ourselves at the tasting room. So it's on tap. Yeah.
That's nice. I bet it's nice on tap.
Yeah. Well, it's nice
this
to
is
have
incredible.
A slightly sweeter option because we don't really make sweet cider.
Ooh.
So it's great to have something like this.
Yeah.
Pabst.
And it's made with like a Pabst good, Dick. Solid Jesus. Local apple. It's like an apple you could be proud of.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's within how many miles of the tasting room?
In
5 freaking miles.
Yeah, it's right between actually like where we're living at that apple orchard and the tasting room. It's right in the middle.
Can we talk a little bit about how you guys are doing after 2020? Just, you know, because everybody's in like the same kind of boat here of the madness.
Well, and then owning your own business, you know, at this point in time is just, it was a yo-yo for a long time. It's, you know, heartbreaking and then a yo-yo. And then now there's a little bit of hope coming out of it. Like for those of us that did survive, you know, there's at least a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel to look forward to.
Yeah.
So that's with business and with life too, you know, we had, at the beginning of COVID, our sweet old dog that we'd had for 13 years passed away. So
what was her name?
That was Gypsy.
Gypsy.
She was at the, she was at the tours at the barn, you know, walking around with everybody.
The apple barn. Gypsy.
Yeah. That's what started COVID off for us. And so that was kind of rough. But yeah, and then all the yo-yos of the business and we had good hopes for 2021 and then. Well, the fires were crazy in August of 20. We had 15 people camping out on the property that had been evacuated.
Wow.
And some of them lost their homes and some of them couldn't go back for over a month.
And that was COVID.
That was during COVID. But
during,
it was because,
during COVID, yeah,
because of the
I know.
Fire, so.
That was like the double boom in this region. Like, bad enough, but hell's a fire, you know, like back.
Tens of thousands of people evacuated, you know, and so, you know, we were there living on the property, but we had the house, you know, and felt kind of bad of a house and they're all camping out, but you know, we would get them little things as we could, you know, our dentist would donate a bunch of toothbrushes and toothpaste for everybody.
Aww.
And, you know, bring down cider and fresh juice as we were pressing it and stuff. But I didn't really understand and connect with them until our house burned down this year in February. And I shouldn't say it burned down. We had a house fire, but it did enough damage that it
displaced
us.
You couldn't live in it, right?
We're displaced,
so, you know, we don't. If you can't live in it, it's kind of like the big bad wolf came by and huffed and puffed and blew your house down.
Yeah.
You know? How much do you need?
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
So it was an isolated incident. It was a, you know, they think the high winds that we've been having actually maybe knocked the chimney off kilter a little bit, so that then when we had a fire, it caused a chimney fire.
Interesting.
Because we had it regularly cleaned, you know, so.
So it doesn't quite make sense in a way.
So that's what the inspectors came down to, is that the high winds did damage to an old chimney. Wow. We had cedar shake roof, you know,
from
the 50s.
Just waiting to be.
Disaster, yeah.
Oh, that beautiful cedar roof, but oof.
Yeah, so Felix was home. It took a little bit to notice something because the fire started either on the roof or in the attic. And then once he realized and he opened the door, the dogs evacuated themselves. They're like, every person for themselves. They knew something was going on. And he went out. And while he was calling 911, was trying to put it out with the hose, you know, and fire extinguisher. And it was just beyond that. So I get a call. I'm packing up from the farmer's market on a Wednesday. And he's like, the house is on fire. The house is on fire. And the phone, we don't get good cell phone reception. So then the phone call, like, breaks up and starts to die. And I understood that
just
Felix
of that.
And the dogs were out of the house, but the house was burning.
Oh,
and so
thank goodness.
Then I was able to get on the parking lot that's Highway 1 and spend, you know, what should be a 15-minute drive, 50 minutes. Just imagining everything in my house burning. And then you get there, and we live on a small road, so the cops have it blocked, and they won't let anybody in.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I said, if you don't let me in there, I know where the secret gate is, and I'm going in whether you like it or not, you know. And so then the cop was like, I'm just not going to look right now. And he let my sister run in because we were going to meet, Felix at the barn to get the dogs and all this stuff. And
I love that.
Cal Fire, I can't say enough about Cal Fire.
Really?
My absolute heroes. I'm totally gonna start crying every time. They not only like saved the house, but they went inside and they moved all of our stuff to safety. They took the art off of the walls. They moved our plants. They shoved everything in the bedroom where the fire was. Like, they shoved everything into the closet and put the wet mattress in front of it. Like, they saved 90% of our belongings, mostly by moving it to safety. And it's because there was enough of them and they felt they had the fire under control.
What do they call it? They call it something.
They call it rehab.
I think.
Going in and trying to save, you know, belongings.
Yeah. I love that.
They have a whole team that once everything's good, they have a whole team that just goes in and pulls art off the wall, pulls things out, and shoves it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not pretty, but they saved everything.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, all the ceilings were ripped out, walls
tremendous.
Were ripped out to let the fire, you know,
get
to it.
That is so smart. That's community for you.
It was amazing,
100% plus.
And then,
honorable.
Yeah, Felix evacuated himself without any shoes on. And so he was out there, and they're like, okay, we got the fire under control. Like, you know, is there anything you need from the house? And he's like, oh, if you could just grab me some shoes. And he comes out with my huge Doc Martin boots and my fuzzy slippers. So we learned from our firefighter friends, that's a little firefighter humor, is they do that on purpose, maybe. They find the most, you know, obscene shoes they can find.
Fire
if you ask
humor.
For a jacket, they're going to bring you the most, like, fuzzy, lavish thing you have in your closet. Like,
well, that's kind of cool. I would take that.
Yeah,
if I'm going to watch my house burn down, I might as well.
I wore those slippers.
Yeah.
That's great. Always a silver lining.
I said, okay, here we go. I got slippers, man.
Yeah.
I feel good now.
Wow.
Sat out there in socks.
My goodness.
But yeah, so, you know, luckily my sister lives nearby, and so she took us and the dogs in.
Yeah.
Great neighbors took the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had Pippin ran away.
Oh, my goodness.
These people showed up. They're like, oh, is this your dog?
Wow.
Like, my house is on fire. I said, oh, my God. And they took the dogs. They said, well, can we take the dogs to our place? Here's our number.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I just couldn't believe.
I did not have a mask on. I didn't think to put a mask on in that, you know.
Of course not. Yeah. Of course not.
I did. Pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Once all the firefighters show up.
Try to be conscious.
Yeah, of course. You walk out with no shoes on.
Yeah.
You think a mask, you know, I mean, and it's a fire.
Yeah.
I once had a car fire. I remember it was in a van, And I always thought, you know how you see like in the cartoons where people are running with their arms straight out in front of them? Mm-hmm. And like, oh, that's a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you.
That's not a cartoon.
That is not a cartoon. I totally did that. I was like running like this outside the van. I don't know why. Trying to like get a fire extinguisher for no fire extinguisher. Just like, whoa.
Trying to figure out what to do, man. Holy shit.
I know.
Wow. Fire extinguisher.
I felt like I knew I was doing it. It was like, you know, 1,000 thoughts out one moment. Like, oh my God, I'm doing it. It happens. So.
Yeah. I used the fire extinguisher. It did not last nearly long enough. It was too
how
small.
How big was it then?
It was a tiny little
kitchen. It was a kitchen, like a kitchen one.
Yeah, like what fire. I have in my boat.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't last long on there either.
I was unable to really relate to the off. Folks that were camping that were displaced, you know? And even if they were able to eventually go home to their homes, like, just that displacement, that's been the hardest thing for us, you know. It's like that feeling, you don't understand it unless you've been through it, and now I understand it, and I have so much sympathy for so many more people, you know, and more understanding of what it entails. It's you know, it's the biggest upset of your life.
Heartbreaking trap.
It's definitely the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Well, may it be the last hardest thing you ever have to do.
That'd be nice.
We will ask for that.
Yeah.
Inside the ribcage, watching them.
Yeah, so we weren't sure where to go from that. We stayed at my sister's for a week or 10 days, and then we're like, well, you know, we live on this huge apple orchard, like we can camp out, kind of, you know. And so let's figure out some kind of situation. We rented like a Coleman trailer that people rent out locally. It was like a 17-footer, and parked that in the orchard, hooked it up, and we're like, all right.
Put
you know,
it on
got
the
power
orchard.
And water,
right?
And
put on the orchard side.
Beautiful
maker.
Setting, yeah. And then these windstorms came, and the whole thing just felt like it was gonna fly over.
Stop already.
And the greenhouse blew down, and a piece came flying and put a hole in the side of the camper, and it was just like it was the most miserable thing of like, you know, not wanting to overwhelm people by living in their house for too long, but wanting your own space. And like,
and it was also during a pandemic.
During a pandemic. And so from there, we moved back to my sister's. And, you know, the interesting thing there was the week before our fire, my sister ripped out her main bathroom because they were going to remodel.
Oh, my God.
So we move into my sister's house. And there's 5 people, 4 dogs, and a half bath.
Well...
So that's
good thing you're family.
Good thing.
And if you're not, you're going to be family really quick. Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, you and Natalie, I mean, to me, you're just amazing.
We get along so well. And
that's beautiful.
Do the business together, and it's great.
That's amazing.
So,
I mean, you know. I don't know many sister cideries.
Is traditionally made using
there's only a few, I think.
Are you looking forward to 2021? How's that looking ahead?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the business side of things. So the apple harvest does not look good this year. We've got a really, there's not good fruit set. So not a whole lot of fruit all around.
What was that about?
You know, I was actually talking to Jake about it, and he was saying it's probably because we had a really good 18, 19, and 20. You know, we haven't really had a super off low year.
Don't you think it would have been nice if the Pomona kind of cut everybody a break,
right?
In 2021?
But luckily we do know Jake, and so, you know, we harvest from all of our really tiny farms, you know, where it's anywhere from 3 to 20 bins, and then if we need more apples, we can buy from Jake.
Cool.
Which is great. So I'm not worried about not being able to make enough cider.
Yeah.
This year, and maybe even a smaller harvest, you know, so maybe a little bit easier on that front.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to summer. We're actually starting to book food at the tasting room and music. Got our first couple of bands playing.
And you have a nice tasting room. I love you have that like kind of classic California style with the big giant garage, you know, doors that open up into this open air scene, and you just walk out into like. Across that area, there's like places to sit, and right next door is a brewery, and it's just like a beautiful spot right on the coastal highway.
Like 1 minute off Highway 1.
How sweet
is
that?
I love it.
Nice, and right in the middle of Monterey Bay, where it's like an oasis. You know, because Monterey's on one end, Santa Cruz is on the other, right in the middle of Moss Landing. and you're like the cider go-to.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's makes me happy.
Those fish restaurants,
it's been great.
Right there.
Little fish and cider, nothing better than that.
Right.
Mm. It really does go well with fish.
Yeah, I think we've got miches and ceviche. It's like a food vendor coming up with their ceviche and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I got to experience that.
Gotta get it nice.
Well, yeah, so that's, you know, mostly the business stuff to look forward to. Not loving where we're living, but it's fine. You know, we got a much
doable.
Yeah, a much word got around. People are amazing. People came together, and my sister started a GoFundMe, and people donated a ton of money, which was actually the bump we needed to do this crazy thing of buy this 10 acres of raw land, you know. So yeah, no water, no power, no building, but we're going to camp out here as much as we can.
Yeah, we're camping out on it tonight, and I want to tell you. Well, I'm looking up at the sky right now. Let me see, what constellation am I looking at? I see the Big Dipper.
Mm-hmm.
And North Star.
He's like, you guys are going to start.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I see the North Star.
Yeah,
from me on him.
It's right behind you. It's hard to see.
Okay, I'd have to turn my body. But all I need to see is the Big Dipper.
Yeah. And I need to kind of know.
Yeah. This beautiful hillside. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm so happy that we're still standing in 2021 and looking forward to the future, and you're going to be going to CiderCon in 2022.
Look forward. I've been to the East Coast very little. I'm excited.
Yay. Well, I remember you were in Baltimore.
I was in Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think I've only been to the East Coast two other times.
Okay.
In my life, so.
Yeah. Well, Virginia's got it going on for sure.
Never been.
A lot of great cideries there, and so it should be fun ahead. And be nice weather. It won't be too over the top.
But yeah, stuff to look forward to. I mean, I think it helps that we did all go through this, at the same time, and kind of realize, you know, when you stop and you think about that, you realize that. I think there's more of a human connection. I think, like, kind of like you said, you were able to just stay home and hunker down. Everyone kind of got to do that and take a moment to, you know, realize how important that kindness is towards one another, you know. So yeah, I always appreciate your positive attitude through everything, you know. And I know, as you know, when you're putting your face out to the public, you know, you should stay positive, show progression, don't be a jerk, you know.
Right.
Just the main three things.
Yeah.
But you always do a really good job, I think, of like not just being positive, but picking people up too, you know.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
finger food if you want.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I have salad.
Okay, I'm gonna grab a good sash.
Well, that evening progressed as I got my good-sized chunk of some barbecue and an amazing meal, more cider and good cheer, with Nicole and Felix Todd, and in the background, Jeff Todd, too. Nicole and Felix are all part of the Santa Cruz Cider Company, and, you know, think about it. What a hell of a year we've had last year, and then to put with that the fires, then if you had a fire, you get into a trailer, then you have high winds and stuff is blowing into it and knocking a side out of that trailer. It's just one thing after another. So the fact that you're still standing now, this far past 2020, just speaks volumes for all of us. And certainly both Nicole and Felix, where they have been, it's really been something. I remember when it first happened back in February, and it was just really shocking news to hear. And on top of this, you should know that Nicole Todd is on the board of the American Cider Association. So as we're talking about CiderCon coming up in Virginia of 2022, this coming year, you know, we're looking forward to good times ahead. So I hope you enjoy this as much as I did, to be catching up a bit with some friends as we're moving out of a very intense time for all of us worldwide and looking to better days ahead.
Yes!
And if you haven't had the opportunity to try a Keev cider, well, obviously we have Keev cider in the U.S. Check it out. Get to the tasting room at Santa Cruz Cider Company. It's open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Check out the website. It might be open even more nights now. And you could always find them downtown Santa Cruz at the Farmers Market every Wednesday from 1 to 6 p.m. Before I go Ciderville, I want to remind you to not forget to put in your order for the Northwest Cider Club. Go to nwciderclub.com/podcast. And I, in turn, am going to go online and just check out my little route map for my Ciderfield road trip coming up. A lot going on, and I hope it's always good your way. And with that, I leave you here. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. We like palms. We love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum. Ba-da-da-dum.
We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!